The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Welcome everybody. Nice to see you all, and thank you, Neil, for putting that in the chat box. So I'm going to continue on this theme of the inner critic. Surprise, surprise. I've been doing this for quite a few weeks now. But I don't know, it feels like it's a worthwhile thing to do. So many of us have this inner critic that's alive and well and just has a big impact on our lives and collectively, like on so much of maybe our society or our communities, people not feeling, I don't know, confident or berating themselves in some kind of way. And then one thing that's about this inner critic, and I've mentioned this a number of times, is, you know, one time maybe it made sense and or we inherited this idea that we should be better somehow, or that how we are is inadequate or insufficient or something like this. We inherited this or we learned this. You know, it didn't arise because it's true. It arose because we were socialized a particular way. And maybe it made sense in some setting when we were younger. But chances are it doesn't make so much sense anymore. But it has become a habit. Our minds get into kind of like grooves or ways in which it automatically responds to things, like these patterns of responding. And the inner critic is one of those habits, one of those patterns. Somehow when I say the word habit, it feels like it's, unimportant. Oh, it's just a habit. But there's something, as anybody who's tried to break a bad habit or start a new habit has recognized, habits turn out to be pretty powerful. They have a lot of momentum behind them. And so we shouldn't... allow the inner critic to get us down when we notice that the inner critic is active about the inner critic. I've talked about this before. But the good news about this is that in the same way that we've learned this habit of the inner critic, putting ourselves down, shaming ourselves or whatever it might be, we can learn other habits. And one way to do this is with a loving kindness practice. It kind of rewrites or reprograms or repatterns something in the way that our mind works and has this impact of the way we show up in the world and all these, just making that maybe a little more familiar to not have the inner critic, a little bit more familiar to be treating ourselves with kindness and care. And I'd like to read a poem. This is by Maddie Weingast. Comes from his book, The First Free Women, where he was inspired by some of the earliest recorded literature attributed to women in the human history is part of the Buddhist canon. And so Maddie read some of these poems that were composed by women. That's what the tradition holds, thousands of years ago. He read them and was inspired and kind of wrote like modern day interpretations, but also inspiration. So I don't want to say these are like direct translations, but when we look at them, we could see they have a flavor of what the women were talking about thousands of years ago. So here's this poem, and I'm sorry that the sunlight is right in my face here, but that's okay. The sun moves. So this poem is called Grandma Sumana. And this is somebody's name. And all these poems just have somebody's name. And in the Buddhist literature, that's how they are too. They just have somebody's name. They don't have titles other than this. Grandma Sumana. After all those years looking after others, this old heart has finally learned to look after itself. Each act of kindness, a stitch in this warm blanket that now covers me while I sleep. After all those years looking after others, this old heart has finally learned to look after itself. Each act of kindness, a stitch in this warm blanket that now covers me while I sleep. I love this idea. Each act of kindness, a stitch in this warm blanket. In my mind, it's kind of like knitting. I don't know how to knit, but it's like, you know, one more stitch, like to this blanket. And this blanket becomes something warm and comforting and maybe like protective or cozy or something like this. So each act of kindness, and in this poem, the poet isn't saying whether the kindness is towards others or towards itself, oneself. But this poem, she's saying, well, after looking after others, it's finally learned to look after itself. So I'm trying to get out of the sun here. And so those of you who can see me, you see that I'm moving around trying to get the sun out of my face. So this acts of kindness are like these one stitch when you're knitting is, it doesn't matter whether it's kindness towards others or kindness towards ourselves, but maybe it's this shift in this understanding that, oh, kindness is a way to take care of myself. I'm not just being kind because that's what I should do or that's what I've been taught to do or something like this, but this recognition that kindness is a way to take care of ourselves. How much more kindness towards ourselves is kindness towards ourselves? So, with that as an introduction, let's do some meditation practice and we'll do a little bit of mindfulness, a little bit of loving kindness, and then we'll do some practices specifically for the inner critic, or that maybe that sub-personality inside of us that sometimes is always putting us down or making us not feel good. And I'm just going to adjust the blinds here for a moment so that I'm not blind at all. I'll be right back in just a few seconds here. Okay. So let's take a meditation posture. A posture that expresses our intention to meditate, but also expresses our wish to find some ease. This is its own practice, right? To have this alertness and ease. Checking in with the body, feeling where the body is touching the chair or cushion, feeling that pressure of the feet, whatever they are touching. The hands, whatever they are touching. And tuning in to the sensations of breathing. Noticing, what does it feel like in the body to have an inhale and an exhale, and the transitions between inhales and exhales? When the mind wanders, just very simply, gently begin again with the sensations of breathing. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, kittens, puppies, babies, birds at the bird feeder, maybe somebody in your life, maybe somebody who has touched you with their writings or teachings, whomever it might be. But a lovable being that's easy and complicated to feel some warm-heartedness towards, to feel some goodwill, care, benevolence, loving kindness. Is there a way you can connect with this lovable being in whatever way makes sense for you? Maybe you have an image of them in your mind's eye. Maybe you're just feeling the connection with the lovable being. However it is fine, perfectly fine. And then to support our connection and cultivation of loving kindness, you can repeat these phrases while keeping in mind the lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now we'll do some loving kindness for ourselves, stretching, expanding this loving kindness we've been cultivating for the lovable being, and include ourselves. Of course we include ourselves. bringing to mind either maybe a mental image of yourself or maybe the felt sense of sitting here now. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Reading this poem. After all those years looking after others, this old heart has finally learned to look after itself. Each act of kindness, a stitch in this warm blanket that now covers me while I sleep. Each act of kindness, a stitch in this warm blanket. And then to practice with the inner critic, bring to mind a difficulty or something that's a little bit troubling in your life. things of a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the absolute worst, choose something that's a 2 or a 3. We start where it's easy. Start where it's easy. Always. So bringing this difficulty to mind. And I will offer some phrases. Maybe one of these resonates with you. No need to do all of them. Maybe just one. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. And maybe speaking directly to this inner critic, this inner voice that puts us down and fills us with shame or making us feel like we're not good enough. You can say this phrase: I know you are trying to help, but it's not helpful. I know you are trying to help, but it's not helpful. Or some other phrases we might use. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm doing the best I can right now. I am in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. I know you're trying to help, but it's not helpful. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. So this idea of each act of kindness, a stitch in this warm blanket, is a way in which I kind of started talking about how habits have an impact on us, but there's a way that we might also think about it. What are we creating? What are we sowing? What are we filling our life with? And wouldn't it be nice to have a warm blanket that you can fall asleep with so that you feel safe and protected and cozy? In some ways, it feels like this practice is like that. It's a way to help us feel like we're creating something that's beneficial and helpful, as opposed to something that's harmful or potentially harmful or confusing or something like this. So working with our inner critic, we really could use these things, right, that are helpful. But all, in the same way, working with the inner critic by, for example, doing the phrases that I offered, is a way in which we are also creating the blanket. So creating the blanket in whatever way, whether it's just regular loving kindness practice, helps us with the inner critic, but working with the inner critic also helps build the blanket. So now I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms while you have an opportunity to talk about some of these ideas with others. Like, okay, maybe thinking like that was, I'm not sure where Diana was going with that. Or you could say like, wow, that was great. It was fun. But maybe you knit and you could really relate to that. Or maybe you knit and you really can't relate to that. However it might be, I'd like to provide an opportunity for you guys to talk amongst yourselves. So it can be really helpful just to say one point, and then I go to the next person and they say one point, and then let it go to the next person and they say one point, and then it comes back around to the first person. So in this way, everybody has an opportunity to say something, and there's no pressure. You don't have to say your whole life story. Please don't say your whole life story. We have a limited amount of time. But instead, just make a comment or about how this reading was for you. And thank you, Michelle Liu. This poem is really helpful, knitting the blanket of care and gentle kindness. Yeah, I like this poem too. Whoops, so, okay. Okay, so, oh, wait, I'm just have to, I'm telling you guys, wait. I'm talking to myself. I almost clicked to send you guys off, but I see some people left at the last minute. And so I don't want anybody to be in a room by themselves, of course. Okay, so here we go. Welcome back. Somebody have a comment or a question or something that they'd like to say? I see some of you are smiling. This is a good sign. What do you think of this poem? Yes, Amy W. We have two Amys.
Hi, Diana. Hello, everyone. Our group was a fully East Coast group. First of all, we're all in the same time zone.
Yay, we had
two Torontonians and one Manhattanite. That was kind of cool coincidence. But yeah, we just shared actually mutual gratitude for the Sangha and having this, being able to tap into this on a daily basis. And for us, it's kind of like a pre-bedtime hangout meditation. And just how lovely it is, a way to cap off the day and connect in a, even though we haven't met each other in real life, as they say, IRL, it feels so real and beautiful and authentic, really connecting to each other's hearts and feels like family. Hmm. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Amy. That's lovely. Amy Yeager asks, can we get the name of the poem? So the name of the poem is called Grandma Sumana. It's just a person's name. Like all these poems are just have the person's name. And the I don't know if you'll find this on the internet, because I'm not sure the book that it's from is on the internet. The poet is Maddie Weingast. I can put that in the chat box. So it's Grandma Sumana by Maddie Weingast. And the book is The First Free Women, something like this. I think that's the name of the book. I don't remember. But there's a collection of poems. Anybody else have a comment or something that they'd like to say or before we sign off and before our friends on the East Coast go to sleep? It's late for them. Okay. We don't have to. So if you'd like, we can unmute and we can all say goodnight and goodbye together. So bye-bye and thank you. Thank you all. It's nice to see you all.
Bye.
Thank you, Sam. Everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Good night.
Bye.